When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast. It's the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I'm a writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. And my co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe, so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. So last week we stole a bit from The Ringer, borrowed it maybe. That's probably a better term, but it works out pretty well. The hot take purge, right? So I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about on this show, and I had so many thoughts after the NFL draft that I said, why not do it again? So this show is going to be about all of our hot takes coming out of the 2024 NFL draft. And I have a bunch of them. I'm sure you have a bunch of them, Adam. Should be a good show, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It's always fun to just spew fire after the NFL draft, because there's just so much that goes on, you know, during the draft with the Vikings and even without, you know, not related to the Vikings. You know, we had a bunch of, we talked about Kirk Cousins a lot on Friday with all the Michael Penix stuff. And that hasn't seemed to get any better for Kirk. And every time the Falcons speak, it seems like they make it worse. But we don't have to worry about that anymore, because we got plenty to talk about when it comes to the Vikings.
Did you read the Albert Breer article that came out today? Where it was
I did not.
Yeah. So it's basically how all three, the Vikings, Falcons, and Broncos, all came together on their quarterback. And the Falcons came out and they're like, well, we won't be picking in the top 10 for a long time. And so Fontenot, what's his name? Terry Fontenot, is that his name for the Falcons? Yep. He had a bit of like PTSD in his life because he was in New Orleans and they had identified this quarterback a couple years ago named Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to take him with the 11th overall pick. But the Chiefs got word of it. Yeah. Chiefs got word of it, traded in front of him. And I guess one of the staffers texted him, we got him. So that is all the PTSD in the world. So that's why they took
Chiefs traded with the Bills, I think. You know, their favorite trade partner.
Yes. The Bills, who are probably regretting that day or that trade every morning they wake up.
Oh, well, they helped them this year too.
But yeah. So anyway, the Falcons had pre-identified it, and then they called Kirk on the clock. The Vikings basically went out to lunch with J.J. McCarthy, I should say. They went to a delicatessen, apparently. And I looked it up online. Looked like great sandwiches over there. Like Zimmerman's or something like that. But and then there was the Broncos, who Bo Nix brought a duffel bag full of, and everything in it was football. Well, I would hope so, because it was a pro day workout, which, you know, if he brought stuff to like
hockey stuff.
Yeah, brought hockey stuff. We might be.
I wonder what J.J. McCarthy ordered. I'd like to know that.
That is what I was wondering. That's why I looked it up, because I was hungry.
Is he a Philly cheesesteak sub guy? Is he a chicken finger sub? Is he a
sub? What would be the warning sign that would tell you we're not drafting this dude?
Probably if he got just like cold tuna sub.
Tuna's a warning sign.
Just nothing exciting about that. You're like, no flavor to your life. Or maybe that's Maybe that's, he keeps it real simple because he wants to make sure all of his focus is on football. So he just, everything he eats is just prepackaged, ready to go. He has boxes of Uncrustables in his house. He's just ready to go just so he can just focus as much time as possible on football.
Where do you want to go for lunch? Well, actually, I just live off of Uncrustables and bananas. So,
you know what? Actually, I think it's funny you say that because Uncrustables, I think, they're actually really big in the NFL. Because I eat them at halftime. I think it might have been on the Travis Kelce podcast. Either he talked about it or somebody else about how I think he was with Taylor Swift or something. And they were at like Bonnaroo and she bought him like a case of Uncrustables and he was just like set for like the weekend or whatever.
So. Aww. that's sweet.
Right?
Yeah. She's like, I literally date a child, a man child.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, outside of the latest Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce update, we should probably get on with our hot takes. You are technically the guest, so I will let you lead off first. What is your first hot take coming out of the draft?
What do I want to start with? Let's go big to start. JJ McCarthy is going to be the week one starter for the Vikings. I know they signed Sam Darnold. I know they have Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall's in the quarterback room too, but he's not competing for week one. But, I don't think JJ McCarthy has to do that much to surpass Sam Darnold in the depth chart. You got to remember Sam Darnold's new to the team as well. So he's learning the playbook. You know, he's had maybe a month longer to learn the playbook and he might be familiar with some of the schemes and terminology that they run with Kevin O'Connell because he was with Shanahan last year. And he's got McCown as well as a former teammate. But, I just think McCarthy isn't going to have to do a whole lot to surpass Sam Darnold in training camp. I think he's just, in order for him not to start, I think he'd have to be, you know, pretty bad in training camp and preseason. And based on, you know, his performance in college and what he did during the pre-draft process, he didn't show that he was that bad. So I think, you know, I've read that they have a plan in place to, you know, step by step, like he's got to reach certain benchmarks to do this and do that. I just think this kid is super dialed in just from everything I've read and watched over the last few days. He's really all about football and trying to learn it as quickly as possible. So I think he's just, you know, going to come out firing. And I think, you know, there isn't going to be that big of a difference between if they start Sam Darnold, it's going to be probably more to protect JJ McCarthy from like maybe the mental aspect from maybe if he starts slow and then kind of puts him behind. But yeah, I think JJ McCarthy is going to be the week one starter. And some people are like, oh, you shouldn't do that because he's a rookie. But with the weapons that he has, it's going to be a lot easier for him to succeed, I feel like, than some of the other rookie quarterbacks like Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
You know, it's funny you say that because my first take was exactly the opposite. Because I don't think JJ McCarthy is starting a game for the Vikings in 2024. this isn't an what's the word I'm looking for? This is an indictment on JJ McCarthy saying he's an awful prospect or anything. I think the Vikings' plan is to have him sit for one full year, soak everything in, and take off in 2025. And I think organizationally, that's their big goal, is to take off in 2025, where they have the cap space to fill the holes and they can make this thing, I don't want to call it foolproof, but like 2000. I think 1999 and 2000, I think is what the Vikings want to do. They want to create an environment where JJ McCarthy is not rushed. He's not thrown into action or anything. Because Dante Culpepper, we've talked about this, 11th overall in 1999. He sits behind Randall Cunningham and Jeff George for a year, does not see the field, takes over in 2000. And I remember at the time, the whole analogy was the car, right? Dante's got to drive the car. So you had Robert Smith in the backfield. You had Randy Moss. You had Jake Reed. I think Jake Reed was still in the team in 2000. Yeah. Chris Carter, you know, this absolutely loaded offense. And Culpepper scored 40 touchdowns. He had 33 passing, 7 rushing, and he got the Vikings to the NFC Championship game. We're not going to talk about what happened in that game, but he got them.
Sean right? Payton cheated. That's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Sean Payton, who ducked the Vikings out of several picks, apparently, because he wanted to help out an AFC team. But sure, whatever you say. Like, you look at the Vikings right now, they have a similar system in place. Sam Darnold, everybody is like steadfast against Sam Darnold starting, and I don't want to see it. But at the same time, Kevin O'Connell's out here saying, we like Sam Darnold a lot. He was our number one target to be a bridge starter. Could that wind up being the whole year? Possibly. I mean, if Sam Darnold's a train wreck, they're going to go to somebody. But if J.J. McCarthy isn't hitting it, and I think I agree with you, and I think that it will happen faster than people think. But at the same time, I could see the Vikings coaching staff like, no, we're not doing this until he is absolutely ready. And if that's the case, they might go to Nick Mullins, who had 300 yards and multiple touchdowns in each of his starts. Yeah, he had 8 interceptions, but if Sam Darnold sucks and you're in a big hole, you know, why throw him out there? Because we've seen this before. Tavares Jackson, 2006, he goes in, he's awful. Christian Ponder goes in 2011 because Donovan McNabb ate at Burger King and McDonald's the first 5 games. He wasn't that great. Teddy Bridgewater had to come in earlier than expected. He did pretty well, but I mean, the Vikings aren't going to rush this. They've said it multiple times. I don't know. Like, the heat has kind of gone to a simmer as I'm talking about this and talking this through, because I want J.J. McCarthy to start games. I want to see him in game action. But at the same time, I don't think the Vikings are going to rush it.
No, I don't think they're going to rush it, too. I don't think they're going to put him in a situation where they're going to set him up to fail. I also think his situation, you know, with coaching staff and players is a lot better than, you know, Christian Ponder, Teddy Bridgewater, Tavares Jackson. Like, he's literally, it's similar in the way that Culpepper was, where he comes in and he has the weapons. I will say that I think from comparing 20 years ago, I think the patience level with just with everyone involved with the team is a lot lower than it was when Culpepper was coming out, because, you know, compared to what the Packers, you know, what the Packers did with Jordan Love, that's very rare. And they also had the luxury of having Aaron Rodgers, who was an MVP for 2 years. They were expecting him, I guess, to fall flat on his face, and that didn't happen. And then you look at a team like the Chiefs, they had a solid veteran in Alex Smith as well, who had already proven that he could lead a team to the playoffs and win. Sam Darnold's not that. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Alex Smith. I'm not saying that your take is wrong, because I think they're strongly going to consider sitting him at least to begin the year. I just think there's the bar to surpass Sam Darnold in training camp or the preseason is not going to be hard. Like, if he makes a couple plays in the preseason, I think it's going to be hard for the Vikings to just, and there's going to be a lot of noise from the outside too, like fan base wise and everything. Like, so as soon as if they start Sam Darnold and he starts throwing picks, you know, guys in the locker room are going to start chirping fan base.
They're going to
avoid that. And then have the whole excuse for the whole year. If he struggles, be like, oh, he's a rookie. He's going through growing pains now. Just let him go. Because you see certain things, like you see Bryce Young and he struggles, and you're like, oh, that's why you should sit guys. And it's like, well, it just depends on the guy. So if the Vikings believe J.J. McCarthy's ready, I feel confident in him being out there. And if they want to sit him, I'm fine with that too. So I guess our hot takes are just kind of like, we're fine with either way.
I mean, it's more, we're more just sitting here guessing what the Vikings are going to do, right? I mean, if we get to week 8, you're going to have people panicking like, oh, he's a bust. He must not be. Well, no, like they probably don't want, like, one of the quotes in that Albert Breer story, and I'll let you get to your next hot take in a second, but it was J.J. McCarthy shaking Kevin O'Connell's hand, and he goes, I would run through a brick wall for you. Yep. And Kevin O'Connell says, I appreciate it, but if you have to run through a brick wall for me, I'm not doing my job, or something along those lines. So yeah, powerful, right? Like, again, everything is so dramatic with the Vikings. It's just like, we're talking about quarterbacks in church. Like, Kevin O'Connell went, like, you know, like it's Christmas Eve in the manger or something like that. Sorry if you're super religious, don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just making a joke.
I gotta say, J.J. McCarthy certainly knows what to say.
Yes.
Whether it's to coaches or the media or whatever. He's very media well-trained. Jim Harbaugh trained him well, I would say, during his time in Michigan. And he went to, like, didn't he go to, like, IMG or something?
Yep.
Which is, like, that's not a school. It's for sports. You're not going there for school.
Their tagline is, you don't come here to play school.
We're not here to play school. Cardale Jones.
Oh man.
Yeah. So yeah, because everything. I think in the phone call when the Vikings called JJ McCarthy to let him know he was being drafted, he told Kevin O'Connell like, "Oh, I would have waited all day and the other 2 days for you guys," and just like, "All right, well, I'm sure you told this to everybody."
Put that in a power ballad,
right? Right. But I, you know, apparently the Vikings were his top choice or one of his top choices, and obviously also, what else is he going to say? But yeah, I'll get to my next hot take.
But Malik Nabers, there's that Instagram Jenny video Dones before the draft, and he's like, "Hey, what about that New York quarterback?" He stops the video.
Yeah, Janiel Dones.
Yeah.
Did you see he called him that? He called him Janiel Dones.
Janiel Dones?
Yeah.
It's going well over there
It's really good. They definitely should have passed on JJ McCarthy. Thanks for doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of JJ, gonna be talking about this guy a lot, I feel like, over the next handful of years. When we look back on
decade.
Whether it's the next decade or 5 years or 15 years, when we look back on it, JJ McCarthy is going to be the best quarterback to come out of this draft. I think he's set up not only to succeed in his current situation, and I feel like he's set up to succeed in the long run as well, because he has a offensive head coach, who's a former quarterback who calls the plays. And you look at some of the other situations that, you know, Caleb Williams is in. Yes, Caleb Williams is a very good prospect. He's going to a Chicago Bears team that historically has never had a good quarterback. This doesn't mean that he's going to be terrible, but it's not good. He also has a defensive head coach. And so that means the offensive coordinator, if they do well, guess what? He's gone. And that's going to happen all the time. So he's going to have to adjust to multiple offensive coordinators probably throughout his career. Jane Daniels, same thing. Drake May, same thing. Bo Nix, and Michael Penix, like, he's already set up to fail. Like, I'm happy that he's going to get paid, because that's just going to make up for whatever shit's going on in Atlanta. And they're probably going to have coaching turnover in the near future, at least GM turnover in the near future. So I just think, in terms of stability and weapons, Justin Jefferson's young, Christian Darrisaw is young. There's just a lot to like about the future of the Vikings with JJ McCarthy in there. And it's not even necessarily being like, oh, JJ McCarthy is going to be like this all pro MVP candidate. No, he's just going to be the best quarterback to come out of this draft. And whether that's him being one of the best quarterbacks in the league or not, you know, that's to be determined. But I think looking ahead, I think he's got a very good chance to be the best to come out of this class.
Chrissy Freud is going to be our guest later this week, and she has JJ McCarthy ranked very highly on her board. She actually had an article that came out last week that said she believes that JJ McCarthy will be, I think, more successful than Caleb Williams. I'm trying to think of the exact words that she used, but her phrasing was, you look at a guy like Brock Purdy, who doesn't really have the super high ceiling that Caleb Williams does, but he got to the same spot that Patrick Mahomes did. And if Kyle Shanahan knows the rules to overtime, he may have beaten Patrick Mahomes.
And also, I'm not saying this guy, but early in his career, Tom Brady. He wasn't like they couldn't rely. He wasn't the guy that put the team on his back, not until late in his career. But early in his career, he just helped them. He just led them to wins. Like, no matter what, like, his stats weren't like a factor. And, you know, that can be the same. That's something similar that's going on with Brock Purdy right now, and something similar that probably could potentially happen with JJ McCarthy. I'm not saying JJ McCarthy is the next Tom Brady. I'm just saying it's a similar situation that could happen to McCarthy, that happened to Brady early in his career, and what's happening to Purdy right now, like you just said.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens with JJ McCarthy, but I feel like the other first round pick is flying under the radar, at least for his talent wise, because everybody's talking about the trade that brought Dallas Turner to Minnesota. But it was not a franchise crippling move, like some people believe it was. We have nerds I'll just call them nerds. Screw it. Yeah. Nerds all over the place that are talking about draft value, and they're, well, the trade chart says that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't. Before the draft started, we were all sitting here with our trade charts being like, how much would it take to get up to 3? And people came in like, oh, no, that's not enough. There's a quarterback tax and there's Trey Lance. You just can't trade up with 3 first round picks. And now the Vikings spent too much to get Dallas Turner. So which is it? Because that's what I want to know. They're upset that the Vikings gave up a fourth and a fifth rounder while getting a sixth back, by the way, to move up one spot for J.J. McCarthy at 10. And then they're really mad that they gave up a third and a fourth next year and a fifth this year to go get Dallas Turner, one of the best edge rushers in the draft. Mel Kiper Jr., with his pumpkin pie and his six cans of Ready Whip and his mashed potato pizza and his hellacious eating habits, he comes out, he gives the Vikings a C because they mortgage the future. First of all, that's not the assignment of a draft grade. You're supposed to grade the draft, not what's going to happen in the future. The Vikings have a first and they have 2 fifth-round picks. They may also get 2 third-round picks because they've lost so much over the offseason as comp picks. So there is that. But here's the thing. Who are you taking in the middle rounds of the draft that could have the same impact as Dallas Turner? Like, Turner could be a bust, but what, you wanted that? Look at, what year was it? The Darisaw draft, right? They trade down, they get Christian Darisaw, yep. And they get 3 or 4 picks in the third round. With those picks, they take, not in order, I can't really remember, Kellen Mond,
yep.
Who was a bust.
What?
They took Chaz Surratt.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond's still in the league, but he's with the Saints.
Yeah.
But Chaz Surratt, who... Yep. Actually, isn't a bad player with the New York Jets.
He's with the Jets, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like a reserve guy.
He's like a special teams guy.
Yeah. You have Wyatt Davis. Absolute bust, my God. Like that is like one of the most shocking like busts I can remember in Vikings history. Because he's like, this guy is supposed to be a first-round guard. And like it just did not work anywhere. Go ahead.
Well, and you and Patrick Jones too, but I was going to say, yes. let's just go through all the third round picks. You know, we'll ignore Mekhi Blackman because it's 1 year and you still don't really know, but 2022, Brian Asamoah, you mentioned 2021, all four of those guys. Patrick Jones is still with the team, but he's not a starter. 2020, Cameron Dantzler. 2019, ooh, Alexander Mattison. Didn't have one in 2018. 2017, Pat Elflein. 2016, didn't have one. And then 2015, you have Danielle Hunter. And 2014, you have Scott Crichton. So, yeah, I agree with you. Who cares what they gave up to get Dallas Turner? Because it's a crap. Well, it's even more of a crapshoot in the third and fourth and fifth rounds than it is in the first round.
And here's the thing people are doing. And this is kind of where it really gets messy. People want to attach the cost of getting the 23rd overall pick to this deal. And it's not right because they are like 2 one-way tickets. The Vikings traded for the 23rd overall pick in order to possibly concoct a Godfather deal to go get Drake May or whoever they wanted at number 3 with the New England Patriots. It sounds like it was Drake May. We don't know. But I'm just throwing it out there. When they didn't need that pick to get their quarterback, you make the most out of that situation. You have a second first round pick at 20. What are they supposed to do? Just sit there and wait? Or were they supposed to trade down again so they could get Andrew Booth Jr., Ed Ingram, and Brian Asamoah, like you mentioned?
Well, how come we never factor in like in these trade charts like the value of the actual player? Why are all players viewed on the same? But like, why is a player that you acquire at number 1 the same value as a player that you acquire at 20? Like, what? That's the thing about these trade charts that don't ever get factored in. And the funny thing we mentioned earlier about the Bills and the Chiefs doing the trade in 2017 for Patrick Mahomes. If you look at that, yes. If you look at the trade, the charts, the Bills won that trade. How many people would agree with that right now?
Yeah.
Zero. So yeah, like all this, like they gave up. It's no one's going to care how much they gave up if J.J. McCarthy or even just Dallas Turner is a good prospect, is a Pro Bowl caliber prospect. It's just like I think Kwesi is starting to realize that, like, something that Rick Spielman probably should have realized a long time ago during his draft process, instead of accumulating, you know, fifth and sixth and seventh rounders and just, you know, basically throwing darts at the wall. Kwesi's like, why don't we just use all those picks to move up and get, you know, guys that have a higher probability of succeeding instead of just taking more flyers on these guys and hoping they turn out to be, you know, Stefon Diggs in the fifth round or a J-Run Curse in the seventh round. Like, Kwesi's like, why don't we just get the guys that have a better chance at succeeding instead?
So. And Tristan and Isolt is commenting, by the way, if you're watching this, go ahead, give us a comment. We'd love throwing you up on the screen and talking about it. He said Vikings overpaid for the 17th pick in the draft. They got a steal on Dallas Turner.
How can
I think both things can be true.
Okay.
I think they may have given up too much to move up in the draft, but at the same time, the player that they got, you know, Dallas Turner was supposed to be a projected top five, top 10 pick. And then, you know, 14 offensive players go off the board. It's like there were two separate drafts in the first round. There was the offensive draft, and there was, or maybe you can even single it out even further and call it the quarterback portion of the draft, because six went in the first 12 picks. And I mean, that's basically what happened. They wound up getting a steal on a player that should have gone a lot higher in the draft.
And to, you know, take the explanation from Terry Fontenot from the Falcons, the Vikings don't expect to be a bad team in, you know, one or two years, I guess. So, you know, these picks are, they're hoping that they're late round picks, like at least bottom third. So they're essentially like almost giving up the third round pick that they're giving up is going to be in the bottom of the third, because you could technically call it like a high fourth. The fourth round pick could be a high fifth, and so on. So like people freak out and think like they're giving up the top picks at each round, and it's like no, it's okay. And like you mentioned, they're getting compensatory picks, and we didn't even mention this. They are going to have so much money next year to spend. Draft picks are going to be irrelevant, almost, and I could even see them using their first round pick. Like, they have the flexibility now where probably they got their quarterback, so they don't have to trade up to get a quarterback. They can trade back and accumulate more picks, you know, whether it be in the second round or the third round. So, like, them having three picks doesn't bother me at all, doesn't worry me. We've seen Kwesi make tons of trades throughout the year. So I'm not concerned in the least that they have three picks next year. Oh, no, what are they going to do?
You want to know a fun way to screw with Packer fans next year?
Sure, I'm always down for that.
When Kenny Clark makes a big play, you say, "Hey, that's a great play by future Viking Kenny Clark."
Garrett Bradbury would be happy about that, because he wouldn't have to block him during actual games.
It would be like the gas station toilet scene in Dumb and Dumber, where like Jim Carrey's in there and like Seabass, you know, he sees "Be here for manly love" at 2:45, and he kicks open the door and it's Kenny Clark, and he's like, "Ah!" He's like, "Don't worry, I'm not here to hurt you anymore." But just Monday through Friday, just, you know. All right, you're up. What's your next hot take?
It's really exciting. Really exciting one right here. I saved the best for second to last. Dwayne McBride, running back for the Vikings. He's going to make the final roster this season. The Vikings didn't draft a running back this year. They signed Aaron Jones. They cut Alexander Mattison. They didn't sign an undrafted running back this year. So right now they have Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, Dwayne McBride, and I believe Miles Gaskin are the running backs on the roster. I might be leaving somebody else out too, but I forgot. Oh, Kanae Wongwu. He might stick around because they changed the kickoff rules, so he might be a factor again. But Dwayne McBride, I think at the very least, he's going to be given the chance to make the roster this year. It seems like the Vikings, I feel like they would have at least signed probably an undrafted running back if they felt like McBride wasn't be able to challenge for some sort of spot on the roster. And I feel like what they've not done the last few days in terms of the draft and the UDFAs, I think that's a good indication that McBride is going to at least be given a chance to make the team. And I think with Kanae Wongwu not really doing much during his time with the Vikings other than kick returns, I think McBride has a good chance to make the roster.
I agree with you based off of what the Vikings have done. Right. This was not a strong running back class. My guy, Isaiah Davis, wound up going to the New York Jets.
19 were drafted this year, so a lot were drafted, but it wasn't like top heavy or anything.
You didn't have, I think Jonathan Brooks might be the one elite prospect in this draft. Maybe
he went second round, right?
He did, to Carolina. So Adam Thielen's got another guy to share the ball. They drafted a receiver in the first round too.
Did you hear the receiver?
Xavier Leggett. Yeah.
He sounds awesome. Like
Farmer Fran from The Waterboy.
Yes. Or I guess Ed Orgeron too.
But oh yeah. Orgeron. Yeah, you've heard the Ed Orgeron song, right?
No,
send that to me. It is fantastic.
Former Syracuse coach.
Yes, I will have to send it. And you know, very likable in the Blind Side movie, which that movie is like infamous now, just because Michael Orr.
Multiple
like,
reasons.
Yeah, just like it is all messed up. But Great. I was going to say this as my own take, but I'll piggyback off of yours because I think the Vikings should have added a running back in the draft, either in the draft or maybe a UDFA. You know, the Vikings, I think they like redshirting running backs a year, especially when they take them there. You know, look at, I'll use Kyren Williams in Los Angeles as an example, even though the Rams just drafted a running back this year because like, God bless you, you play dynasty fantasy football because it's so damn frustrating. But Kyren Williams barely saw the field his rookie year. He comes in year two. He's one of the best running backs in the league. I think the Vikings have a similar approach where if a guy struggles to the degree that Dwayne McBride did, or even Ty Chandler in his rookie season, they are willing to wait a year and get somebody. And I mean, the Aaron Jones thing, it's a 1 year stopgap. He's got an injury history. And I'm still saying if they have to rely on Ty Chandler, they're going to be in trouble.
Should they sign someone like a Kareem? Because Kareem Hunt's still out there. Devin Singletary out there?
Yeah.
Or no, Damian Harris, I think.
But I mean, you can pick up like it gets weird. Like midway
the training camp, you could probably do that.
Yeah, like you could probably poach a guy off another training camp roster. So. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know running backs don't matter, but they do matter when you don't have a running game.
Cam Akers is still out there, too.
Cam Akers is still out there. Knows the playbook. Mm-hmm. So but there is
two,
that.
Two torn Achilles. not that he's going to be a starter. But
not great. Not great. I'll go next because I just want to say it's okay that the Vikings drafted a kicker. Will Reichard from Alabama. Resume does not matter to me. Like I agree with Vikings fans that I guess he is the NCAA's FBS all-time leading scorer in points, which is great. His career long is 52 yards, which is not that great because you want to draft guys that can bomb them, you know, all the way. But it seems like they thoroughly researched this kicker group, which sounds ridiculous, but Matt Daniels basically went to the podium and like laid everything out. Said his teammates raved about him. That's great. And this guy also kicked for Nick Saban, who is under the same tree that Mike Zimmer was under.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different brand. Like this is the Belichick brand, but Belichick's under the Parcells tree. So it's like the bloodline. It's like the, you know, when The Rock showed that tree. Bloodline tree. Like that's basically what this is.
The learning tree?
Yes. Not the learning tree, no. But, you know, I mean, if Mike Zimmer was in charge, like, I would hate this pick. Uh-huh. But Kevin O'Connell has already shown he's got a different approach to kickers. Greg Joseph's shanking extra points left and right. He's like, all right, let him work it out. Let's see what happens here. I'm not upset with it. It's a sixth-round pick. We just got done talking about, well, sixth-round picks, you're basically throwing darts blindfolded anyway. Like, why not get a kicker? And two teams immediately went to the podium and took kickers right after the Vikings. Yep. So does that mean he's going to be an all-pro? Absolutely not. Like I think it will fail, but because that's just how Viking fans are about kickers. But I don't hate it. I don't hate the pick. I don't hate, you know, the process. You know, if this was round three and the Vikings took a kicker, I would be mad.
Yeah,
if they traded up, I would be mad. Yeah. But they waited their turn. It was round six. They're like, take this guy. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, they didn't make any trades on day three, right?
Just
day one. I don't hate it because it was in the sixth round. I don't like using any draft picks on kickers because I feel like there isn't that much of a difference. There isn't enough of a difference between kickers who are drafted and kickers who are undrafted to use a draft pick. But at the same time, a sixth round pick is not like super valuable. It's like, whatever. If you like this guy, go and get him. That's their decision. They needed a kicker because they had what the kid from the XFL,
John Parker Romo, JPR.
Yeah. So like, it's not like they have a reliable option right now, at least that they think. And Greg Joseph wasn't good and they were still able to be kind of successful. So like, again, with these two kickers, like the bar isn't very high for them to surpass to be better than the previous kicker that the Vikings had. Also kicking in US Bank Stadium is like a whole different animal for whatever reason. The Vikings kickers struggle in there. not the opposing kickers. Opposing kickers come in and just knock down everything. But Vikings kickers, for some reason, struggle in there. So I'm curious to see how that goes, because he was at Alabama. They don't kick indoors. They kick outdoors the entire time. But yeah, like you said, he was under Nick Saban. Nick Saban's not going to, like, you miss a kick. He's not going to be like, oh, great job. Good luck next time. You'll be okay. No, he's going to chew you out. He's going to
dude like, seeing for sale signs in his front yard as it goes wide left.
He's going to be like, don't look at me for a week. You just cost us the game. So he's used to that pressure. Alabama's got a lot of, you go to Alabama and you're a kicker, you might have the most pressure on you in the entire nation. So he's got that going for him. It seems like he can handle it. So I'm just curious to see what he can do. I just don't like drafting kickers. It's I don't know if it's maybe because it's never really worked out for the Vikings. Blair Walsh did really well rookie year, and then Mike Zimmer came and just exploded his brain. And then Daniel Carlson, we know about that. And then did you see, I think it was Rick Spielman, somebody posted a clip of Rick Spielman talking yesterday or over the weekend about how, I think he was talking about the Bears drafting a punter, and Spielman was saying how, like, oh yeah, I drafted lots of punters and kickers, and sometimes you end up cutting them like 2 days later or whatever. And
not just a punter, they drafted a nuclear weapon, Iowa's Torrey Taylor, who kicked the Hawkeyes into the college football playoffs single-handedly.
I thought you were talking about who the Vikings drafted, which was who did they draft? Jeff Locke? Is that the guy? Jeff Locke. Oh wow, what a weapon he was. Yeah. So yeah, I don't like it, but I'm not like, oh, give them a D-minus because they drafted a kicker in the sixth round. No, it'll be okay. I'll be able to get over and sleep at night. All right. My final hot take. I don't know if it's too hot, but we'll go with it. The ending might be. The Vikings need a better plan at left guard. They didn't do anything in the draft. They signed some undrafted. Well, I guess their final pick, the center from Wake Forest, he can play left guard too, but he's a seventh round pick. It's not like top prospect.
And it sounds like they want him to play center.
Right. But. So they need a better plan of left guard, whether it be free agent or somebody else. But it should not be Dalton Risner. It's April 29th.
Yes.
If he was that good, if Risner was that good, he would be on a team right now, whether it be the Vikings or somebody else. So I don't see, unless he's taking way less money or whatever, I don't see any reason to bring him back. He did okay last year. It wasn't amazing. But there seems to be just something, like, I don't know if he rubs people the wrong way or something. Like, he seems to be a decent guy. I don't know, but no, if Dalton Risner isn't signed right now, then there's no reason for the Vikings to bring him back.
I wanted the Vikings to draft a left guard. Mason McCormick went in the fourth round.
Steelers, right?
Yes. Steelers, former Jackrabbit.
That's what
that would have been. A great pick for them, I believe. But at the same time, you know, I'm thinking, here's a hot take for you. I'll piggyback off of yours again. I think Blake Brandel could be this year's Alexander Mattison, where you have a player, you look at him, like everybody else looks at him and goes, well, he's a fine backup. And the Vikings go, we're going to start him. And you're going, why would you do that? And then it's a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. Blake Brandel, I know he played guard last year, but at the same time, Brandel, like, this is the whole Ole Udo thing. Like, you're a tackle, but now you're going to be a guard. And he's going to, unlike Udo, he's going to have the whole offseason to prepare at guard. So maybe he'll be fine. But they gave him a substantial amount of money to go play left guard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not entirely sure it's going to work out.
And they signed a guard, I feel like, this offseason. What's his name? Tyrese Robinson. I think he used to be with the Rams. And Dan Feeney, too. So there's some people that could be in the mix for that guard spot. And
oh, yeah. I forgot about Dan Feeney.
Yeah, I can forget about that here. They didn't sign. Chris Reed's still a free agent, too, right? They didn't re-sign him.
Right. Yeah.
So he's still out there if they want him. But yeah, it's just weird. They haven't really, I don't know if they're waiting on somebody to be free or waiting for June 1st, something like that, to get a lower cap hit. But yeah, they need some sort of plan at left guard, because it doesn't seem like they do, because, Garrett Bradbury, not the greatest at interior blocking, neither is Ed Ingram. So you need at least somebody in there to block a defensive tackle, like a Kenny Clark or Dexter Lawrence, guys like that, because teams are getting better on the interior defensive line. And so your offensive line has to be better too. And now that you have your quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, you got to invest in protecting him now. That's got to be a big priority now moving forward. So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing at left guard. I don't know. Maybe they got some secret plan that we don't know. Hopefully.
Well, from one area that could use some depth to another, I'm going to focus at the top of the depth chart here. And I might even go a little bit further here as I go along.
Long snapper.
We got to talk about this long. Andrew DePaula. He's got delicious bagels.
Overrated.
Yes. Yeah. We need to get a new one. No, I'm kidding. The Justin Jefferson extension is coming and it's imminent.
Please let Mike Florio know that. Please.
Yeah. Mike Florio went out
every day.
He just finds another. This means they're trading Justin Jefferson. I know. Like, I don't think he's a Vikings fan. So I say this from the fan's lens.
Really?
Well, that's the thing. It's like from a fan's lens, it's like almost like he wants them to trade Justin. Like anything. Well, you know, they called Dalton Reisner, and I think that's a sign they want to trade Justin Jefferson. I was at the grocery store and I got, you know, some roast
little birdie.
So a little pastrami, and the deli counter guy said, I think they're trying to trade Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson mentioned he actually messaged J.J. McCarthy after he was taken, and he said, I'll be called Jets now. That means he's going to the Jets. Top 5 trade destinations for Justin Jefferson. He going to the Jets. We're going to put him with Aaron Rodgers, clear all the cap. Like, comment, subscribe for more. Enough. For the love of God, there was a rumor that the Vikings tried to trade up for Malik Nabers with the 5th overall pick that they were trying to get there. And I don't know. It's more feasible than trading for Justin Herbert, which people still want to bring up. were they trying to jump from 11 to get Nabers and then trade up from 23 to get McCarthy? I could see that happening. But I mean, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah after the draft mentioned it. It's like someone who claims their own birthday month, right? Mm-hmm. My birthday month is ending in another day or whatever. But literally, I do not want to have any more beer for a while. I celebrated a little, not a little too hard, but I did celebrate a little bit with the Timberwolves win last night. The first time a Minnesota team has ever swept a best of 7 series, no matter what sport is. So that's pretty cool. But I mean, it would be hypocritical if they talked about structure and everything else and they go ahead and they go, all right, we're going to take away Justin Jefferson. Good luck, J.J. McCarthy. It's going to happen. He's going to get a lot of money. They have the space for it. He's going to go get paid.
Yeah. Let's see. Mike Florio wrote today, he wrote, it's time for the Vikings to put their money where their mouth is on. Why is it time right now?
Yeah.
Why is it time right now?
People will click on it though. They'll read it.
Is it pro football talk or is it Justin Jefferson talk, Mike? Come on. Why? I don't understand the constant, I don't know. He's doing the classic, like, old Vikings fan fear mongering that was going on this entire time, you know, before free agency with Kirk Cousins, before the draft leading up to them, you know, trying to get a quarterback. It was like, oh, well, Vikings fans better be prepared because they might get, you know, just, you know, a defensive lineman and a quarterback. And it's like, no, they've been working out every quarterback like they've been having week-long sleepovers with every quarterback. But, you know, those are just giant smoke screens to just take up their time so they can get a defensive lineman. So it's just, I don't know what the obsession is with Mike Florio. I know he has sources because he's been in the game for a while, but like sometimes I feel like people might tell him things to throw him off because that Malik Nabers thing, like, how in the world can that be true? That would make no sense for the Vikings to do that, to give up draft capital, a lot of draft capital, to get up and get a wide receiver when you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkins. Like,
would that be an indictment on Hawkinson's availability though?
It could, but you don't give up that much money for a third wide receiver.
It's true.
Or even a second.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have made any sense at all. People would have been more pissed about that than they are about the trades they lost or whatever to get Dallas Turner and JJ McCarthy. But like, I don't know. Like, just, I don't understand the obsession that is every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. It's like, oh, the more they wait, the higher the price. Don't you think the Vikings know this? And don't you think, like, don't you think they've already planned out, like, okay, if CeeDee Lamb signs for 35, okay, you're going to get 36. If so-and-so signs for 37, okay, you're going to get 38. Like, the Vikings probably don't care how much they pay Justin Jefferson because they already offered him a deal last year. They're ready to sign him. They've been ready. And they're going to sign him probably when he gets to training camp or in June in mandatory minicamp or whatever. Like, this is what they do. They wait until after June 1st for the cap hits to be lower, and they don't have to, the extension won't kick in probably maybe until 2026. So, like, chill the fuck out, Mike Florio. I enjoy his content, but, like, it's just getting old with the Justin Jefferson stuff, man. Come on.
Jefferson's going to show up to TCO Performance Center in a helicopter with, like, the brightest grill you've ever seen. And, like, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, it's going to be like, you know, Nick Aldis signing somebody to SmackDown. He's just going to hand him the clipboard and he's going to sign it and take the field and injure both knees probably right after that. But we are Vikings. Like,
I don't understand. And the bad thing is, like, now we got May. What do we got? OTAs and minicamp and rookie minicamp. Justin Jefferson stuff is going to be talked about the next few weeks. People are going to make up stupid rumors, and we're going to have to hear about it until he gets signed. That's the thing that sucks. That's what's going to go. It's going to happen. But I think Vikings fans just need to know he's going to be signed. He's not going to be traded. If they didn't trade him at the draft, which would have been the perfect time to trade him up, to move up and get Drake May, they're not going to trade him. They don't really even have a lot of leverage right now. Like, people would be like, cool, so now we can get draft picks for next year and we have to pay Justin Jefferson? Yeah, we'll give you 3 first round picks for that for sure. Yeah, no. So I think he's sticking around for a bit.
All right, let's wrap things up here. I'm all out of hot takes.
Same.
What's going on at the Viking Age right now?
We're just looking at the rookie class, new guys on the Vikings. You know, some more about J.J. McCarthy trying to focus a little bit more on Dallas Turner, too, because seems like a lot of the focus, including myself, has been on J.J. McCarthy because he's the quarterback. But I think Dallas Turner has the potential to be really good as well, especially in Brian Flores' defense. That'll be fun to watch and talk about. And then just looking at some more offseason stuff, you know, there's still free agents out there they can add. I think the Vikings have a good chunk of cap space where they can add at least one significant name before training camp. So we got OTAs the next few weeks. Mandatory minicamp, I think, is in June. Training camp be here in July. Schedule release coming out, I feel like, a week or two. Mm-hmm. That's always fun. We'll be going over that for sure. Still think week one, gotta be Falcons and Vikings. You gotta do it. Go check it out, thevikingage.com, and then follow me, Adam Patrick NFL, on Twitter and Thread.
And you can follow me at The Real Chris Shad, but that is all the time. What's that?
Or at The Viking Age. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I just noticed I wrote it differently on the screen as I was saying.
Oh, that. At The Viking Age, too.
Yeah. You can read all my stuff there as well. But that's all the time we have for The Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. Holy moly. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day, but however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.